Good morning, everyone. Morning. Good morning. How are we? One's good. Welcome to you all, and welcome to those who are watching online or watching sometime later in the week. The theme for our service this morning is the Great Commandment, and I'm sure you would all know it: love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But I think whether we love God in part is maybe challenged by how we perceive God's love for us and how we see, how we think God looks upon us. In the Song of Solomon, who's read the Song of Solomon lately? It's all right, you don't have to put your hands up. The Song of Solomon, I think, historically has been perceived two ways. One is purely a love story, but secondly is an allegory of God's love for us. And in chapter 2, the lover, God, says to the beloved, "You are lovely." Now, I don't know whether you see yourselves as lovely in the eyes of God, but for me, that is the reality. I know I don't always do lovely things and say lovely things, but in God's eyes, I am lovely. Just like you to listen to a song that comes from the Song of Solomon and hear God speaking to each of us. Come, my lovely one, come. Come, my lovely one, come. Winter is past, the rains are gone. Come, my lovely one, come. Come, my lovely one, come. Flowers appear on the earth, the season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in the land, the blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Come, my lovely one, come. Come, my lovely one, come. Winter is past, the rains are gone. Come, my lovely one, come. Come, my lovely one, come. While you hide in the clefts of rock, let me see your beautiful face. Let me hear the sound of your voice. Your voice is sweet, your face is lovely. Come, my lovely one, come. Come, my lovely one, come. Winter is past, the rains are gone. Come, my lovely one, come. Come, my lovely one, come. The winter is past, the rains are gone. Come, my lovely one, come. Come, my lovely one, come. Come, my lovely one, come. Lord, we praise you and thank you for your love for us. May we be a people who return that love and reflect your love for us in everything we do. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. God, we praise you that we can meet in the way that we do and express our love for you. Lord, we don't do that adequately, and yet we will still do it as we tell our family members that we love them, tell our kids and our grandkids. So too we say to you, Lord, Lord, we love you. And may your love permeate our lives in every way. Now, this morning, this afternoon, tomorrow, next week, and on throughout our lives. Amen.
I love you, Lord of my days, I trust you. So part of our kids talk today, we normally do a kids talk, and so the young guys would like to come down the front with great excitement. One, two, one, two. Come on, Big Dave. We need your wisdom down here too, mate. All right, this is going to be a short one because sometimes that just happens. Hey, look, you've got to guess what's going wrong with this. All right, so I'm going to give you some phrases. And there's something wrong about these phrases. So, if I said I loved my dog, and I went, ooh, what is wrong with that? If I said I'm a great driver, but then would put my brakes on very fast and yell and scream out the window. If I said I loved myself, but every time I looked in the mirror, I wanted to punch the mirror. What about if I said I loved other people, but every time I looked at them, I go, oh. What do you think is going wrong here? If I said God loves everyone, but except those down the road, and come and think of the one around there, and the other one around there, what is going wrong? If I said I was worried and scared and I needed a friend but didn't pray. Oh. What happened if I said it wasn't fair that no one liked me, everybody hated me, but all I did was sit home by myself? What about if I said the church is for everyone? Except for those who are this like that, and oh, I don't know. What am I missing, people? What is the thing I'm missing? What is going on? Here, look. Can you help everybody out? Because we're all confused.
That you're saying that you are doing, that you, like, love and are so good at something and aren't.
So I'm doing one thing. I'm saying one thing, aren't I?
And not doing it.
And not doing it. What do you think? You got, come on. Anybody got some wisdom over this side? What do you think?
Doing the opposite of what you say.
And what is it that I need to be doing? What am I trying to say, but I'm not doing?
You have to, like, do what you're saying.
Yeah, look at that. Okay, anybody all in favour that the what I was trying to say and what I was doing were opposites? All in agreement? Okay. So, yeah, isn't that the story of life? And in faith, one of the things we're trying to do is to not only talk about love, but to do love. One of my favourite sayings is, do something. So today, I want you to do love. All right? So when you go through week, this school, I want you to do love. Can you say that with me?
Do
love. All right. What about everybody else here?
Do love.
Well, okay, that's not bad. What do you think? You happy with that? All right. Well, you guys, you've got some further stuff you can do out in Sunday school. And so I'm going to say goodbye to you.
No, they need to hang around.
Oh, one song. Okay, please, David, yes. So don't go anywhere. Dave's got a song.
This next song is a song for kids, but it's also a song for big kids. So I expect you all to sing it. But I'll have to teach it to you. So for those of you who can read, the words are up on the screen. And it's pretty easy because love the Lord your God with all your heart, love the Lord your God with all your mind, love the Lord your God with all your strength and all your soul, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Ken, could you put up verse 2, please? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Woo. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love your neighbor with all the love that God has placed in you. Love your neighbor just as God loves you. And then there's a third verse, but we'll get to that when we get to it. We're going to sing the first verse twice, the first time, so you can get a sound for how it goes.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love the Lord your God with all your mind. Love the Lord your God with all your strength and all your soul. Love the Lord your God with all your heart.
We're going to stop just there.
Sorry, Trevor. Now you've got to take your cue from your pastor sometimes, don't you? Yes? David's going to lead us in the actions because he was doing it beautifully. I didn't even think of actions, but he's a man of action. Look at that. Follow David. You can stay seated. No, stand up. Come on, stand up. You can't do actions sitting down.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love the Lord your God with all your mind. Love the Lord your God with all your strength and all your soul. Love the Lord your God with all your heart.
Love your neighbor.
Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love your neighbor with all the love that God has placed in you.
Amen. Please take your seats.
All right, kids, go. Sunday school. Woohoo! Come to church for a bit of cardio workout. One day I'm sure I'm going to pull my ear off putting this thing on. All right, got some notices today. So bear with me. It's probably the most notices I've had for ages. So this week we're launching our Advent Bible studies. So it's really 4 weeks following on from the sermon. So today we launch it, and then during the week we have a small group. So we've got 3 new groups this week if you want to jump in. Ian is doing one on Monday, 2 o'clock, so that's tomorrow, 2 p.m. here. I'm doing one on Thursday, 4:30, also here. And Fiona is also doing a group which is women's only. So if you're a woman and you'd like to join in with Fiona, ring Colleen and she'll give you Fiona's number. Oh, I think it's actually in the grapevine as well, an email. So that's good. And don't forget, in this environment, if you've got to get up and move around, please do so, all right? So if you've got to go and do some stuff, just do it. This is really an open place. We don't need to sort of feel that we're stuck in our chairs and we can never move. Let's have a look. In your notice sheet, you would have noticed that the leaders' meeting last Monday thought that the idea to actually generate some more mission outreach and connecting with our community starts with actually getting a dishwasher. Would all those in favour of wishing we had a dishwasher 20 years ago, please put your hand up. Yeah, that's what I thought. Look, better late than never, people. You know, Mum washing, well, we'll get your name later, Lee. You've just dobbed yourself in, buddy. So one of the things that the idea was that because I've worked 2 days at PAC this year, we're going to use the money that the church has saved and put that into an account out of which we will make that a community stewardship fund, and that's where the dishwasher fund will come from and other initiatives that we roll out next year. So that's, I think, a good idea to use it for mission and outreach. Don't forget there's nominations for church council and elders for 2022 coming up, and there's also the congregational meeting which we'll let you know in November, which will look at the budget for 2022. And also, the treasurer for this year, John Norton, he said he was going to do it for half a year and ended up doing a whole year. So look, John, sensational. Thank you. A round of applause. And we need to include Pam in that, so thank you, Pam. And it's just, you know, like, I just hope that when I get older, I've got as much passion and drive as you do. And I just... commendation. If I did commendations, if you were in the army, you'd be getting a commendation, John, for your effort, all right, mate? Just because of the great effort you have to go through. So next year, we're looking for someone who's either got bookkeeping skills or that sort of stuff we can combine some people with to make a treasure out of. Assume you might be part 6, someone else might be part 4. I don't know. All right, I think that's enough notices from me. Well, let's get into some other interesting things like the Bible reading. So thanks, Brent.
Good morning, all. Our reading today is from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34.
The greatest commandment. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." This is the word of the Lord.
The Wesley brothers wrote some amazing hymns, Charles and John. One of Charles' great hymns is "Love Divine, All Loves Excelling." And it's, if you look at it closely, it's a really personal hymn, an expression of inviting God and offering ourselves and saying to God, please do your stuff in me. This is the time we have for our offerings here at the Vines. Just remain seated and respond to God as we sing this and offer ourselves afresh to him. God, we praise you and thank you for your divine love that permeates our very being, all of us, no exceptions. And Lord, as we stand here this morning or sit here this morning, as we watch online, we offer ourselves and you, Lord, but we also bring to you, Lord, the offerings of our lives, the gifts of finance, and pray that you would use what we bring to you and offer to you, Lord, to the glory of your kingdom, as we seek to serve you beyond the walls of this building. May you bless what we bring and multiply it. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please take your seats.
Good morning, everyone. It's a privilege to bring our prayers of intercession today. Lord, please intercede on our behalf as we pray for others. We are your church and your world, and we give thanks for all that you have done. Let us be Christ-like witnesses wise and thankful amongst the hate and bitterness in society. Show us how and where to use our spiritual gifts to bring beauty, peace, cooperation, generosity, empathy, gratitude and love to the world. Show us how we can contribute to the recovery of this world. Provide discernment to those attending the UN Climate Change Conference in Glasgow over the next 13 days. May you guide their discussions, their interactions and decisions. We pray for governments and leaders worldwide. May they be united in a vision of peaceful, non-dictatorial resolutions. The events happening in Afghanistan are of particular concern to us, Lord. Please intervene. We pray for the needy, the hurt, the abused, the hungry, the homeless, the sick, and those who have lost loved ones. May our faithful prayers give them comfort and hope. The COVID pandemic has changed the world and people's lives. We pray for those countries where many infections and deaths have been recorded. As international and national borders are opened, we look forward to families being reunited. May we lift Cleo Smith and her family to you as police follow leads of possible sightings of her. How traumatic for everyone involved. We pray for a good outcome, Lord. As an election looms here in South Australia, we see name-calling, blaming, focus shifting and fighting within our government and opposition, trying to win and buy votes. Show them the way, Lord, please. And as I draw our prayers to a close, our local communities and church congregation are in our hearts. May we uphold each and every one of them in caring prayers of faith, hope, support, and love. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we again are reminded through songs and words that your love for us at times is overwhelming. And one of the things we most struggle with is how we live that out. So today, as we reflect on these ideas and words and thoughts, we ask that they would continue to sink into our very essence. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, can everybody see me all right? I realise that I like standing down the front, but I guess there's a reason, there's a platform. Put your hands up if you would permit me to stand on the platform. Happy where I am? Just checking. Hey, look, well, I hope you're okay and are doing well. The last few weeks we have been exploring and thinking about the Sons of Thunder. Now, for those who missed that, you might have had the opportunity, you can do check our backlog, but which is a bit of a funny thing to say. Well, check the catalog. But the last few weeks we've been thinking of Sons of Thunder, and then last week we had Blind Bartimaeus. And Blind Bart was confronted with a crowd that tried to keep him quiet. But in his desire to have his life changed, he spoke out. And in speaking out, was heard by Jesus. Now, this part underlies our Advent series as we run into this series. Today we're launching it, and part of the focus as we run up into Christmas is, I guess, you know, often Christmas time is where people will say, well, what's in it for me? What do I get? You know, when people often think about Christmas presents, there's a bit of a tension. So, for example, this year, I know somebody who suggested we should do in families Kris Kringles. So instead of buying each person an individual present, you just buy just one present. So instead of buying 10, you buy one. Sounds like a good strategy, doesn't it? There was almost a riot. People get used to receiving presents. And I guess Christmas time, like our society, gets stuck on What's in it for me? So this week, we're looking at Jesus' encounter. Now, with the Pharisees and Sadducees, these are leaders in Jesus' community who were constantly trying to trap him, because it's a bit like politics. And as Lynn mentioned in her prayers, you know, politics is one of those things. You know, I always thought I'd like to get into politics, but when I look at Scott Morrison and how everybody hates him or loves him or he just can't win, I think, thank God I'm not in politics. Being a rev can be hard enough sometimes. But so it was really interesting. Jesus found himself in the middle of politics all the time, because what he was saying was really refreshingly different. It was out there. It was confronting to the religious establishment. And in this encounter we have this time, one of the Sadducees, when the Sadducees were embarrassed, the other political party, religious party, decided they'd get a lawyer to come in. Who better than to trip someone up than a lawyer? Makes sense, doesn't it, really? And my apologies to all lawyers in the congregation or those online. Teacher, the lawyer asked, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Objection, Your Honor! Leading the witness. No, I don't know. I just sort of throw that in to see if you're awake. That's what lawyers do, don't they? So the lawyer asked, teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Now you can imagine Jesus thinking, now, if I answer this way, I'm going to make this group happy. If I answer this way, I'm going to make that group happy. If I answer this way, no one's going to be happy. So Jesus says this. Second slide picks this up. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Second is to love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hangs all the law and the prophets. Now, sometimes we think that Jesus has replaced the Ten Commandments with just two. But really what Jesus is doing is laser focusing the Ten Commandments down and boiling them down to the key heart of what is going on. What are we supposed to be doing? So it's a big three, you know, like love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Learn to love yourself as your love your neighbor as yourself. The third slide picks this up. So, one before. Love your neighbor as yourself. I often think this is probably the most profound verse that is the densest. So, like, when we think about the simple frame, love your neighbor as yourself, it just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? But when you think about it, it comes back to the question, well, how do we love ourselves? And I'm not sure about you, but I've had to do a lot of work on that for myself. When I was a young fella, there was a lot of mistakes I'd made early that just followed me around like a shadow. And whenever I looked at myself in the mirror, I could just see ghosts of mistakes past. And so my sense of self was really diminished. And I really didn't love myself in a way that freed me up to love others well. And sometimes I still struggle. But I think for me, as I've considered about faith, one of the things about faith is one of our tasks is to learn to love ourselves as God loves us. Learn to love ourselves as God loves us. What does that look like? Learn to love ourselves as God loves us. When God loves us and accepts us and calls us his children, that never changes. And so one of the wonderful freeing things of we can be brilliant or stupid, it really doesn't change God's love for us. And I think in that, I understood something that gave me a sense of security and faith about my faith. I was always going to be God's child from now until eternity. And so I was able to relax into that truth. And so that's a truth that I can share with my neighbor and with others. You are loved. I am loved for no other reason than God loves us. Wow. So for me, part of that condensed verse just flows out. And this Advent sermon series, we're really trying to, I guess, explore this and understand and learn more about ourselves. And I think it's always the challenge, isn't it? To sort of love ourselves and then to love our neighbors. And there was another lawyer who said to Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? Great line. In the old days, a neighbor was someone who thought exactly like you, looked exactly like you, believed exactly the same things as you. Jesus said, well, actually, let me tell you a story about this hated, despised Samaritan who stops and cares for his enemy. That's your neighbor. So Jesus was trying to turn stuff on their head all the time. So part of as we think about these two commandments, we're going to use Romans 12 as a way of unpacking this a bit further. So our next slide picks up this verse. Now, Romans chapter 12 is a wonderful book. It also is like so condensed, sometimes you have to add water and it just expands. But this is part of the reading. So then, my friends, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship you should offer. So when we look at this, I've highlighted three words. And Rick Warren tends to pick this up really well. There are three key words to this verse. Because, offer, and offer. So then, my friends, because of God's great mercy, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. Right down the middle. This is what true worship is all about. Sometimes we think that worship is just something we do on a Sunday, or maybe a worship leader does, or only happens when we're singing. Worship is more than just simply 1 hour on a Sunday, or if you're very lucky, an hour and a half. Just sort of put it out there, see what reaction I got. And you know, the benefit, and I understand why people are still at home watching this, because you can just skip forward. Don't skip forward, pause, think. But worship is knowing and loving God back. Worship is my response to God's love. Worship is the way I react and respond to God. Because of God's great mercy. It's a bit like that sense of, you know, when you know you're loved by God, that gives you a sense of freedom to relax and let go some of the stuff we want to carry around with us that just brings us down. One of the things Rick Warren picks out is, God doesn't ask you to make the first move. As we picked up last week, Jesus is always passing by. There's always that opportunity to connect in. God always makes the first move. God saves, God forgives, God blesses, God journeys with us. Because of these things, we worship, we give back, we respond. Gratitude, gratefulness. What is that we offer? What are we supposed to offer? I like this next slide. I think it's very, you know, we're thinking of Christmas. The gift, what do we give to God who has everything? Have you ever had to buy someone a present who seems to have everything? What am I going to buy this person? Should I give them a voucher? Should I maybe ask their friends? What should I do? Should I just go to the shops and buy some chocolates? We had some friends, you know. My wife would spend hours thinking about what to buy people, and we had some friends who would just buy chocolates. And so we'd spend hours thinking about the presents, and we get chocolates. There was a sense of grace and injustice at the same time. But I don't know about you, but I've had to learn to buy presents better. My poor mother experienced many of my bad present buying experiences. You know, 1920s cookbooks. Here, Mum. And I guess from time to time, Ellie has as well. But I have improved. I have learnt. So what do we give to God who has everything? What is it we offer? What seriously? God who made the universe, the stars, the sky, wind, the hail, the storms, human beings, animals, God who made the universe. What do we give to God? What do we give to God? Well, simply, we give to God our love. What does God want? God's got everything. What does God need or want from us? Our love, our response, our gratitude. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, Mark chapter 12 says. God wants us to love him in three ways. God doesn't have your attention unless you give God your attention. That's called loving God with your mind. God doesn't have your affection unless you give it. That's loving God with your heart and your soul. And God doesn't have your ability unless you give it. That's loving God with your strength. God gives to us freely. And I think that's one of the things I love about infant baptism. And we won't go down that rabbit hole theologically or whatever. But what I really like about it is we celebrate God's choice of this baby before they have any understanding. Jesus died 2,000 years ago before any of us were born. And so in the same way, we're recipients even though we weren't there. This gift that we don't earn, we can't earn, but is free to us is the thing that changes us around. We love God because God first loved us. At times it's easy for us to say, I just don't love enough. And I guess there's, you know, look, it's very easy to go down a guilt trip and give ourselves a hard time. It's very easy to think we're not good enough, But that's not the point of the whole exercise. God's love comes so that we might have abundant life. Be free, not sort of be burdened with more tyranny of the shoulds and guilt and shame. It's not what it's about. It's about abundant living, about life, hope. And sometimes it's a bit... Sometimes in my life I've had a real clear picture of that. Other times, I guess you just get used to living and you forget about the significance of it. And so I guess that's that. The complacency maybe that comes with being a part of a consumer society where we have so much or you know, that we forget some of the fundamentals of just being able to breathe. So Paul writes, take every day, your ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, your waking, your walking around, and place it before God as what? As an offering. We said offer is the essence of worship. So today we're offering to God our lives. And I think one of the wonderful things I mentioned a month ago, I suppose, God really doesn't care what you do for work. Butcher, baker, candlestick maker. You know, God really doesn't care about that so much as what you or how you live your life. As we live our life in love. And I think one of the things I do like, Rick Warren had a great purpose-driven church, purpose-driven life. And whatever you think of Rick Warren, he had some great ways of phrasing stuff. And one of the things he said clearly was, God doesn't care what you do for work. It's who you work for. Now, I don't know about you. As a Christian, I know who my boss is. And as many times as I might scratch my head at my commanding officer and think, what? I know my boss, whom I serve, gives me a different purpose and meaning. And what Paul is trying to say and the gospel and Jesus and everybody else is. It's who you do it for, who we live our lives for, who we love. Are you doing it for God, whatever you're doing? If you're caring, are you caring as if you're caring for God? If you're cooking, are you cooking as if you are caring or serving God? If you are filing and organizing, if you're trying to get your garage organized at home, maybe you're plucking the weeds from your garden, are you doing it as if it was for God? Because in the end, we're still under the authority of God. God's still our boss, even if we're retired. Are you in your retirement, are you doing it for God? I wonder what that would look like. I'm going up the ground for you, God. Oh. If you turn everything you do into worship, then why not? What does that look like? God just doesn't want us to worship one day a week, but our watching TV, our golf, our cooking, our washing dishes, whatever it is, our playing sport, that's where our offering and love to God comes in. Slide number 6. Giving back to God happens in the ordinary, routine, mundane things of real life. So the next time you take out the garbage, pause. God, I'm doing this for you. Look, I'm being a bit silly on that, but am I being silly? I mean, isn't everything we do? I mean, can we just sort of stop having God in our lives? Can we just simply stop following Jesus? I mean, or is that always something that happens? Whatever we do, do it for the glory of God. Okay, what was the one with the spud? You know, peeling spuds, you know, do it for... Oh, okay. You know how you get this great image that goes through your brain and you lose it? Even if you're peeling potatoes, and it's a bit like the old monks in the old times, they peel spuds and they're doing it for God's glory. And whatever it is, it's the actions as well as the words. So maybe our prayer is, God, tomorrow morning I'm going to get up and I'm going to go back to work, and regardless what I've been doing for the last 20 years, I now go with a new boss. So it's that sense of refreshing our thinking. Our last side is doing it all to the glory of God. And there was a song that we used to sing many years ago as well. Sorry, I'm not sure what you make of this today. I've thrown a lot of different ideas at you, maybe things you would have heard before. But what is one thing you're taking away about this idea of following the commandments? The two commandments Jesus highlighted. Love the Lord your God with your strength, your heart, your soul, your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. What are you connecting with? So pause for a moment, turn to the person next to you if you can, or just do some personal think time. What is one thing you have connected with this morning? Go on. You've got 20 seconds. Time starts now. So let me share a prayer with you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, in a world that is so easily full of consumer gadgets and trinkets and things, we ask that we might not miss the point of how we can continue to serve you in this society as we offer our lives every day, every minute, every hour, as we serve and love you through the things that we do, the everyday things that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
We have two songs to take us through to the end of the service. The first one is really a reflective song and another invitation for us to express our love to God. So just remain seated and embrace the music. Thank you.
hear our praises from a grateful heart. Each time I think of you, the praises start. Love you so much, Jesus. Love you so much. Lord, I love you, my soul sings. In your presence, carried on your wings. Love you so much, Jesus. Love you so much. How my soul longs for you, longs to worship you forever.
I hope that song travels with you through the day. We're going to change the tempo just a little bit. Would you like to stand?
Joy of heaven pour down on me. I still remember the first day I met. child, I would dance in your presence. Oh, let the joy of heaven pour down on me. Still remember the first day I met you, and I don't ever want to lose that fire. My first love, my first love, my first love, my first love.
Thank you, and as you go from this place, know that our response to God's love has as the foundation our understanding how much we are loved. Go from this place, know that you are loved eternally by God. Go in peace to serve the Lord.